Welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Chizik phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Pinchas, the 18th day of the month of Tammuz. We made it through another week. Baruch Hashem, thank God, Shabbos is almost here. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for today, whose names are prominently listed in the OU Today daily email. If you would like to sponsor future calls, we are grateful and always appreciate your support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for Sunday's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Benjamin Yasser, Mora D'Astra of Congregation Torah Or in sunny and humid Boca Raton, Florida, to share Divrei Chizik, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Yasser reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, the Mishnah Berurah, Lecholim, and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation between Rabbi Yasser and myself, which will provide us all a window into his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Sunday's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Yasser.
Good afternoon, Naftali Herman, and to all who are listening, and Yeshikayach to you, Naftali, for all the work you do online, both phone line and web line, serving as the coordinator of the Southeast region of the OU. Pleasure to have that professional and personal association with you. I'd like to share a true story with you, and in doing so, first to introduce to you two of the main four characters in the story. The first is Ralph. He's a quiet, hardworking man in his mid-40s, a painter by trade. Over the years, he developed a clientele of religious Jews who admired his work and often used him on a repeated basis. The story begins at the house of Chaim Baruch. Ralph knocks at his door. Chaim Baruch opens. He knows exactly, you know, who's there. He's expecting him. He was right on time, maybe even a drop early. And he welcomed the painter into his home. First time Ralph is meeting him. But the first time Chaim is meeting Ralph, but Ralph came very highly recommended by one of Chaim Baruch's friends. Ralph asks Chaim where he would like him to start the painting job and where he could put his materials. Chaim gives, you know, answers to that, and then right away says, but before you start, you know, I'd like to offer you a cup of coffee. And Ralph accepts very gratefully. He follows Chaim Baruch into the kitchen. Chaim prepares the coffee and the milk and sugar, puts a few cookies on a plate and everything on a platter, and doesn't stay in the kitchen. He asks Chaim to follow him, and they walk into the living room. Ralph's very impressed by the living room. It's furnished, very lovely. And he picks up this cup of coffee, takes his sip, and as he starts to eat one of the cookies, he looks up on the wall where there are portraits of five rabbis. And he's just staring at these portraits. It could seem like he's in deep thought. And he focuses on a picture of the Bava Rebbe. And Chaim was kind of surprised. This Ralph was not Jewish, so didn't necessarily think he would have some kind of connection with the rabbis. And he saw the expression on Ralph's face. It made a big impression, you know, on him. But Chaim just watched quietly. And then Ralph turns to him and says, is that your rabbi? And Chaim Baruch says, yes. And with the bright eyes, the painter says, that rabbi, he's my rabbi too. You know, suffice it to say, perhaps, you know, Chaim Bork was a little bit surprised since the Ralph, you know, was not of the Jewish faith. But as the painter told him that, Ralph went to his wallet and pulled out a picture of the Bava Mer Rebbe. He carried a picture of the Bava Mer Rebbe in his wallet on a daily basis. That really shocked Chaim Baruch. And, you know, Chaim said, wow. He says, yeah, this has been my rabbi for a good 15 years already. And in fact, he taught me one of the most important lessons I've ever learned in life. Chaim Baruch is very curious now. And Ralph tells him, he says, you know, the story and my meeting of the Bava Mer Rebbe went back, you know, many years ago. I was working for somebody else. I wasn't doing as well as I'm doing today. I didn't have as many clients. I wasn't working in this neighborhood. But my boss, you know, gave me this assignment to come here to Borough Park. And so I went. Parked the car a few blocks away and started to walk to the address. Ralph says, truthfully, I felt pretty uncomfortable. You know, here I was, you know, dressed in work clothes. Most of the people on the streets had these long black coats on and the hats, right? You know, like I see you have hanging here. He says to Chaim Baruch, I was very uncomfortable. I know people were looking at me. Maybe they were thinking I don't belong here. I was thinking I don't belong here. And the tall guy, strong guy, and inside, he's very uncomfortable, was thinking maybe I should even call my boss up and say that maybe he sent the wrong guy. But he goes forward, gets to the address in front of the gate to the property. There are some very tall and hefty men, and they ask him, what are you doing here? He says, well, I came to see the rabbi. He says, really? They say to him, what's your business with the grand rabbi? He says, well, the grand rabbi needs his house painted, and I'm the painter. So they let him in. He walks to the door, rings the bell, and the Bava Mer Rebbe himself answers the door. He says, I was feeling uncomfortable. I didn't shave in 3 days, not because it was the 3 weeks. It's just, I didn't shave every day when he went to work. And he looks at this man who, his appearance reflects that he's a holy man, and Ralph is feeling uncomfortable. The rabbi says to him, please, you know, come in. Greeting him, greeting as if, you know, I was an old-time friend, Ralph says. And then the rabbi asks him, did you eat breakfast yet today? So I had to admit that I didn't eat that day. I couldn't believe the rabbi's asking me that question. You know, he must have a million other things on his mind. He was worried about whether I ate or not. I told him, the rabbi said, good. I'm going to make you breakfast. And the rabbi himself made me breakfast. Ralph says, can you believe that? And we sat down at the table, and I'm eating my food. And the rabbi starts to talk to me and says something that I'll never forget. He looks at me with very beautiful eyes, and he says, you're a good painter, right? And Ralph says, I try to be. Then let me tell you something. The Rebbe said, let me tell you what I'm not going to tell you. So, and the Bava Mer Rebbe went on to say, what I won't tell you is that I expect you to do a perfect job. Now, Ralph was a little bit curious, doesn't usually hear that from his customers. It's usually just the opposite. And he's a little bit curious. And the Bava Mer Rebbe says, let me explain. Jews were once very fortunate. We had a holy temple in the holy city of Jerusalem. Unfortunately, it was destroyed. Our nation was exiled and scattered all over the world. Since then, even though it's so long ago, There is no such thing as perfection in this world. Perfection can only return when God is more present in our lives. Therefore, says the Baba Rebbe to Ralph, I will not ask you to do a perfect job. All I ask of you is for you to do your very best. Is that okay? And Ralph says, he answered, I promise I will do my very best. And he got to work, and Ralph reflects, it's many years ago, but he says, you know, that was one of my best jobs ever. And Chaim Baruch was about to make a comment when Ralph raised his hand and said, wait, there's more to the story. So after I did the job for the grand rabbi, I began to get lots of calls from this neighborhood. I made several new friendships that continued over the years. One morning, I was already working for myself, says Ralph. I get a call from someone. He says he needs a rush job. He'd like me to come tomorrow if I'm available and get his job done quickly. So I was available. I took his address. I told him what he should do in the house before I get there, so to make things go smoother and more quickly. And I show up early the next morning. I knock on his door. And right away, I could see he's an impatient sort of fellow. So I keep more quiet. He didn't offer me a drink, not coffee, not water, no cookies. Okay, fine. And then he takes my hand, he pulls me into the first room, and he says, this is where I want you to be painting. And listen, I agreed to your price. I didn't bargain with you. I'm paying you a lot of money. I want this job to be, get ready, I want this job to be perfect. In Ralph's mind, he says, I'm scrolling back, you know, 10 years earlier, and thinking about my conversation with Baba Rebbe. And somehow I get the guts up to say, listen to me for a second. Once upon a time, the Jewish people had a temple in Jerusalem. Now the painter Ralph is lecturing to another Jew. And he says, during that time, when Jews were able to serve God to the best of their abilities, that was a time of perfection. But since the temple was destroyed, there's no such thing in this world as perfection. I will do my best, and that's it. If you have any questions, you can go call up or visit the Baba Rebbe and ask him about what I said. After I told him that, the man didn't really have that much to say to me, but that rounds out my story, says Ralph to Chaim Baruch, of my relationship with the Baba Rebbe. And he puts his wallet back in his pocket and says, now I'll just do the very best job that I can. So don't worry about a thing. After all, he's your rabbi too. We are living through a second level of imperfection. Yes, here we are at the start of the 3 weeks of national mourning over the destruction of the Holy Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. We are aware and we become even more aware of what is missing in our lives as we go through these 3 weeks. But on the other hand, we've adjusted to the reality of our lives. And normally, we try to do the best we can as we wait for Hashem's decision to bring Geula Shelema, full redemption. But now we have another level of imperfection. The coronavirus has caused most of us, maybe even all of us who are participating in this call, to adjust to a new reality. And we can do it. We must keep the Baba Rebbe's message with us constantly. We must do our best. The Netziv, famous biblical commentator halachic, Jewish, legal, Talmudic scholar comments that the experience of our nation in the desert, which now in the parshas of the week, we're at the just about the end of that experience, but that total experience taught the Jews to be resilient. That it taught us to know that hardships are part of life, but we know that with Hashem's help, we will be able to reach our destination, and we will be able to overcome the hardships. Hashem has given each of us the strength and the potential power to succeed. So let's use those gifts to create the best that we can for ourselves and for others. I invite you to join me now in the recitation of Tehillim. We'll be saying chapters 20, 27, and 130. We'll begin with Perek Chaf, chapter 20. Lam natsayach mizmor leDavid, ya'ancha Adonai b'yom tzara, yisagevcha Hashem Elohei Yaakov, yishlach ezrecha mikodesh, u'mitzion yisadecha, yizkor kol minchotecha, ועולתך ידש נסלה, איתן לך קרבדך, וכל עצתך ימלא, נרננה בישועתך, ובשם אלוהינו נדגול, ימלא אדוני כל משאלותך. Ata yadati ki hoshia Adonai mishicho ya'anehu mishmei kocho bigvurot yesha yimino eile vareche ve'eile vasusim va'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir Heima karu v'nafalu, v'anachnu kamnu v'anit odad. Adonai hoshia, ha'melech ya'aneinu v'yom koreinu. We'll continue now with Perek Chaf Zayin, chapter 27. LeDavid Adonai Ori V'Yishi Mimira Adonai Ma'oz Chayai Mimi Echad Bekrov Alay Mireim Le'echo Et Besari Sarai V'Oivai Li Heima Kashelu V'Nafalu Im tachane alai, machane lo yira libi. Im takum alai milchama, bezot ani voteach. Achat sha'alti me'et Adonai, ota avakesh, shifti bevet Adonai, kol yemei chayai. Lachasod b'nom Adonai ulevakeh b'heichalo ki yitzbeneini b'sukot b'yom ra'ayas tireini b'seite ohalo b'tzo yirom imeni V'ata yarum roshi al oivai srivotai Te'ezvecha v'holo zivche trua Ashira ba'azamra l'Adonai Shema Adonai koli ekra V'choneini va'aneini Lecha amalibi bakshuf anai Et panecha Adonai avakeish Al tashte panecha mimeni, al tat v'af avdecha, ezrati hayita, al titsheni v'al ta'azveni, Elohei yishi. Ki avi v'imi azavuni, baduna ya'aseni. Horeini Adonai darkecha unecheini ba'orach mishor leman shorai al titneini b'nefesh tzarai ki kamuvi eidei sheker v'feyach hamas. Lulei he'emanti lirot b'tuv Adonai, chazak v'yameitz libecha, v'kavei el Adonai. Kavei Adonai, chazak v'yameitz libecha, v'kavei el Adonai. Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir HaMalot B'Mamakim Kratiha Adonai. Adonai Shema V'Koli Tiyeno Oznecha Kashuvot V'Kol Tach Adonai. Im Avonot Tishmoya Adonai mi yamod, ki imcha hashlicha leman tivarei, ki viti Adonai ki v'tanafshi v'lidvaro hokalti, nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker, yachel Yisrael Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fidut, v'hu yifdet Yisrael mikol avonotav. The Mishaberach prayer for those who are ill. When I pause, please fill the names of those you are praying for. Mishaberach avotenu Abraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov, Moshe Aharon David v'Shlomo, hu yivarech et hacholim. Ba'avur shenachnu mipalim ba'avuram, ubelein eden nodrim tzedaka ba'avuram, bezechar zeh hakadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem, lahachalimam urap otam, lahachazikam ulahachayotam, v'yishlach lehem mehera refua shelema min hashamayim l'cho evareihem, ולחוגידיהם בתוך שאר חולי ישראל, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, השתא בעגלא וזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. אחינו כל בית ישראל, הנתונים בצורה ובשביה, עומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה, המקום ירחם עליהם, ויוצאים מצרה לבחר, ומאף Pela leora, umishibud legula, hashta ba'agalabz mankari, v'nomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Yasker. As we transition into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and your wonderful community doing?
Hey, Baruch Hashem, we're thankful for the blessings that we have. We've been shielded from many aspects of the concerns around us, and we count our blessings.
Chassidei Hashem. So surrounding Congregation Torah Or, Century Village Boca Raton is world-renowned, and its reputation well precedes it. However, we're fortunate to have listeners from really across North America, Israel, and even several countries in Europe who join us on these daily calls. So for some of our listeners who may not be familiar with your wonderful community, could you please provide us with a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
My pleasure. We are what we call a gated community, something that's fairly popular in Florida, at least the section of Florida, which means literally, you know, there is a gate around the community where people must go through security as they enter. The primary physical part of our Eruv around the community. It is a community of condominiums, or a little bit over 5,700. Yeah, a little bit over 1,150 members, each person counting as a member. We are a 55-plus community. Most of our members are retired, not all, certainly not all. Some go back to their work in their home community. Some, work remotely. About 30%, approaching 30% of our population live here all year round. And then the balance are mostly seasonal, meeting with us for 3, 4, 5 months before going back for Purim or for Pesach. And others come, for a Shabbos, a long weekend, so to say, they come to visit. It's a very nice spirit in the community. Many people have previous connections here. Sometimes from the neighborhood, they moved from or are sharing with. Sometimes they meet people that they went to school with decades ago. It could be 50 years ago or more in many cases, and they get reacquainted here, and others are making new friends. And in fact, they're friends that are often considered to be like family. Our shul's very active. We have an education committee, our sisterhood, our men's club. Between shiurim, learning opportunities, special gatherings and programs. There's a clubhouse here in the village that offers additional opportunities for growth and relaxation. The greater Boca community has much to offer. 3 kosher supermarkets in our area, many fine restaurants, and many, many fine people.
Fantastic. Well, it is a truly wonderful community and shul, and I have waited at that gate to get into the community many, many times when I've come to visit. But it is a great community. And let me jump to the next question, and the hour is getting late. Rabbi Asher, we've been speaking with your rabbinic colleagues from across the country, and several have shared with us some truly remarkable stories. You shared a fantastic story in the beginning with your opening remarks. Something that I'm certainly going to remember and repeat. But some have been, we've been hearing really fantastic and incredible stories and moments that have really come out of the coronavirus, and that with every challenge, there are opportunities. Anything stand out to you from your community? We've heard people talking about just the chesed that has been ongoing and the giving, and that things that have always existed but have really been amplified to another degree.
No, I identified our community as officially, legally being a 55-plus community. We do have some people in their 50s, and they are usually the ones who are here, more on an occasional basis. So primarily, we are a community that is almost exclusively in that higher risk group for the coronavirus. And yet people have taken upon themselves to really look after the welfare of others. And so we have people who have been doing shopping for individuals, teaching them how they can do, shopping online, people cooking meals for others, people extending financial help. Sometimes they have access to free food, and we're reaching out to those who are more stressed financially, either with food, with money when we can as well. Because until recently we weren't in shul, and even though we're in shul right now, we're not really so actively pushing the pushka, you know, around. But it was announced to remind people that because indoor davening, you know, had been suspended, that the chesed fund, which reaches out to help people, was not having income, mm-hmm. and we had a very nice response by our membership. And within the last few weeks, some of our members were going back north, you know, came and dropped off checks, sometimes an envelope, you know, full of bills to say this is a tzedakah. I was, you know, saving up, you know, all those times I wasn't able to be here in Minyan. People have really been sensitive, not only to taking care of themselves, but to help to take care of others as well.
Wow, so that's absolutely, truly wonderful to hear how the community has come together. Rabbi Asger, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a brief picture of your really incredible community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all those in need will be answered, Latova, and may the Rabboni Shalom, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Although we do not get together on Shabbos for our daily call, please consider reciting the three chapters of Tehillim tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Please join us again on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Herschel Decker of the Young Israel of Kendall in Pinecrest, Florida. This concludes today's call with hearts full of faith. Stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, meaningful, restful, uplifting, safe, and of course, healthy Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.